Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for it is a privilege. And I really enjoy sharing your word. Thank you for letting me do that today. Forgive me, Lord, if I've sinned and come short of your glory. I think about the many times those that go to the Wailing Wall and they wash their hands three times. Make sure, Lord, that I'm washed and I'm clean as I present your word before your people today. And Lord, also, we need your blessing on the offering. As always, help us to be good stewards wherever it goes. Help those people that receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I've been talking a lot about walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And some of you, if you were following me on the internet, my daughter put a picture of me coming out of the grave. I can tell you the grave is empty. We serve a risen Savior. Some have him on the cross yet, but we serve a risen Savior. What a privilege indeed it is today to share. Walking in the footsteps of Jesus, following Jesus, I guess, would be one of the titles that we could give this today. Are you a follower of Jesus? How many of you have been following Jesus for quite some time? Was you raised in a Christian home? How many of you were raised in a Christian home? Wow. So you've been following for quite some time. Some of you have been following longer than I've been. I think around age 9 or 10, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. About age 14, I was baptized. Probably around 17, when I graduated from school and headed to my first year of Bible college, I would say that was probably the time I really made the Lord, my Savior, my Lord, what I want to say. There is a difference, you know. Have you made him Lord of your life? Is he Lord of your life? Have you made him a priority in serving him? Sure. You wouldn't be here. A young man that went with us on our trip, his name is Matthew Yinkst. Not sure how old he was. I didn't ask him, but he's very smart. Electrical, some kind of electrical technician. Just a few things I asked him. I said, well, have you been raised in a Christian home? He says, no, he said, my parents didn't serve the Lord. And I said, you're going to Israel. I said, how'd that happen? Well, he said, I was invited to go to church, and I had somebody talk to me about the Lord, and that's why I'm going to Israel. Wow, I thought that was wonderful. He made that decision on his own to follow Jesus. His parents didn't serve the Lord. Well, when the question is asked, people generally give a wide variety of answers. Are you a follower of Jesus? Remember, they asked Peter that as he was warming his hands by the fire. The maiden there said, you're one of his followers. Peter said, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. I saw you with him. No, I'm not. And he heard the cock crow three times. And he realized, just like Jesus said, you will deny me three times. Have you ever denied Jesus? You deny him, by not following him. You deny him if you're too embarrassed to say a prayer before you eat. You deny him. There's lots of ways you can deny him. I have a checklist here. Let's see how well we do with this checklist. We call ourselves a follower of Jesus. Some people think it's just simply believing in God or attending church, maybe participating in communion, giving to good causes, praying when in need, living a good life, maybe simply being religious. But you see, none of these really, really answer the question. Nor do they prove that you're following Christ. Engaging in all these religious activities is not equivalent to following Jesus. And these activities are practiced by Christians. But not everyone that does them is Christian. So we're going to determine what's truly following Jesus. We need to look at the biblical guidelines. As we opened our service this morning, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he called Simon Peter and Andrew to leave their occupation as fishermen, to follow him. And we see by their response, they immediately followed him. They left their nets and they followed him. You see, this is a whole life commitment. This is not just a religious activity. This is a commitment. So what characterizes you as a follower of Jesus today? Let's evaluate that. What experiences are true of those who are genuine followers? Our first thing is you need to be born again. Is there anyone here, and I don't want you to put your hand up, but if you're here today and you're not born again, you need to be. You need to be born again. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 and verse 3. You see, this is the first qualification to become a follower of his. We must confess and repent of our sins. And by faith, we receive God's forgiveness. And we surrender our lives to Christ as our Savior and Lord. And we begin to start walking in his ways. The next qualification we see is prayer. How much time do you spend in prayer? When you read the scriptures, you find Jesus spent much of his life in prayer. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer, Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to be people of prayer, just as he was. It needs to be a major part of our lives, not just an occasional plea for help when we need something. It's sad that some people only pray when they need something. How would you like if your children only came to see you when they needed something? How would you feel? How does it make you feel when they only show up when they want something? Did you ever just go and say, Lord, I just want to sit down with you? Did you ever go visit somebody and just say, I just wanted to visit with you today? I didn't come for anything. I just want to spend some time with you because I like you. I happen to like you. How does that make you feel? Pretty good, don't it? Imagine how it makes Jesus feel when you want to spend some time with him. Spend some time with him. Make prayer a priority. Make it a daily habit to have a quiet time with our Lord. Start the day and finish each day in prayer. It's a good way to make sure we're walking in his footsteps. Thirdly, listening. We all could use some help there. Wife sometimes tells me something. She said, you weren't listening. I can tell you weren't listening. What'd I say? Guess I wasn't listening. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's the next words, Matthew 17:5. Listen to him. Way too often, many of us begin the morning with thoughts of everything else that we need to accomplish the day with. And that's important. But what's more essential is to spend time talking to the Father and ask him for guidance, for protection, and to help us to be obedient to him, to be sensitive to the needs of those around us. Are you sensitive to the needs of those around you? Or are you selfish and only concerned about your own needs? You see, when you spend time listening, you'll be more sensitive to the needs of others instead of your own selfish lives. Our Lord is sovereign. Let him be sovereign to you in your lives. God requires our submission and our obedience. And so we need to take time to listen to him as we read his word and as we pray. Lord, make me more sensitive. When I went this checklist, this hit me quite a few places. And I really thought I was following the Lord. Belief. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, John 3:16. As we trust in our Lord for salvation, we need to continue to live by faith as we follow him. If we don't believe him, we'll live self-centered lives. But to be genuine followers, we need to trust him with our difficulties, our pains, our temptations, and our needs. We need to trust him, rely on him. He will help us to do whatever he says. Another checklist is obedience. How are you doing on the obedience part? I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 8 and verse 12. You see, following requires obedience. This should be the desire of our hearts. How foolish it is when we try our own way. I know we've all had shots at that. We've all tried to do things our own way, and it didn't work out too well. You see, sin always leads to loss or the death of something. Maybe you lost opportunities. By not being obedient to the Lord, you missed an opportunity. You know, I talk with several people about different procedures that they're called to go to the hospital to have a procedure, to have a test. You know that God sometimes allows that because when they're doing the test or the procedure, they find something else. How many of you had that happen? You went for something and they found something else. Yeah. God did that. God sent you that way because they needed to find it, because they needed to address it. It needed to be addressed. You see, God still works. God's not dead. He still works in our lives. He's still at work. Oh, how much he loves you. How much he loves you. Sometimes we lose opportunities or even blessings. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we stubbornly refuse to obey him, he will send enough heartache and trouble into our lives to correct us. I learned something listening to Charles Stanley the other evening. The word punishment God uses toward people who are unbelievers. The word chastisement he uses for us as believers. Punishment for unbelievers, but chastisement for you and I. What kind of a father is he that doesn't chastise children? You see, so our Father chastises us sometimes because we've been naughty. You ever hear that term, naughty? You ever been naughty? Yeah. I've been naughty too often. And then there's the word love. Where did I see that? I believe it in Brother Barner's letter. Said something, Paul Barner's letter, I believe it said something about you can give without love, but you can't love without giving. That's what I saw. But you can't love without giving. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Mark chapter 12 and 30. You see, we can't follow the Lord with a divided heart. Half of us loving the things of this world and half of it with God. That doesn't work. Serve him, the Lord, and give him all your heart, all your love, all your devotion. He certainly is deserving of it. The love we are to have for Christ involves our entire being. We can't allow impure thoughts or images and words into our minds and claim to love him at the same time. That doesn't work. Wholehearted love is what he wants and desires from all of us. It affects what we think. It affects what we watch. It will affect what we do. And it will affect where we go. This is the one part, Wayne, that you talked about. And Norma, sharing. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Matthew 28, 19. It's our Lord's command. If we're going to follow him, we will share the truth of God's word with others, regardless of whether they like us or not. In a world of hatred and bitterness and animosity and death, our Lord's followers are risking their lives to bring the gospel to people throughout the world. And each of us can surely say something to spark the interest of someone we know who is not following Jesus. Surely you can share something. Some of you are here today because somebody was willing to share something. You're here today. Thank you, Jesus. For by grace are you saved, not of yourselves. Service is another checkpoint. Service. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. John 12, 26, Jesus came as a servant. And as his fathers, that's what we should do as well. You see, all of us here have a capacity to serve the Lord in some way by serving others. You see, service comes in many different forms. And many of you are involved in that. Some of you can cook. Some of you are actually pretty good cooks because I've tasted it. And if you can't cook, you better check on some other kind of service work. But I'm talking about everybody here. Everybody has something that they can offer. All of you do. You all can do something. And you have been. And I know God loves you. You've been sharing. You've been helping. You've been caring. You've been encouraging. You've been comforting. You've been giving. You've been teaching. And you've been sharing. And you see, all of you are part of that. Every one of you. You're all part of that. You're a wonderful group of people. Doing, sharing, caring. You're all part of it. Then there's one more S. There's one more S. Suffering. For you, it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Philippians 1:29. Are you following Jesus? If you are, you can expect to experience some form of suffering. You may be rejected. You might suffer financial loss as a result of the way you believe. You might even lose some relationships. You know that? That when you know Jesus, sometimes the relationships in your family aren't so good. When you get together for family reunions, they sort of shy away from you because you always want to talk about Jesus. And it doesn't make them very comfortable. They're not real comfortable about talking about Jesus. So it might cost you some relationships because we make people feel uncomfortable. Or we just don't fit in with those who love the world. But this shouldn't stop us from following Jesus or sharing the gospel. I know that I've come to the end of my list, and you might be tempted to pick or choose which of these qualities you want to pursue. But this isn't a pick or choose list. All these practices are essential if we want to walk with Jesus and walk in his footsteps. They should become an important part of our lives as we follow him. Made more important to me than just going to the Holy Land and walking where he physically walked. For all these years, I've tried to walk in his spiritual footsteps, as you have. So can you truthfully say today, after hearing the checklist, are you following Jesus? Why or why not? Which of these characteristics is the most difficult for you to accept and practice? And would you be willing to ask the Lord to work them into your life so you can follow Jesus more fully? Would you stand with me? As Wayne knows what I'm about to say, contemplating on what to say, of the many messages through the years I shared, I think this was probably the most touching to me. Am I really following in his footsteps? Am I doing all these things? I can tell you I could do a better job. I could do it better. Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive me where I didn't do so well in some of these checkpoints. And Lord, I want to do better. I want to really be a better follower. Help me, Lord, to never be ashamed to share your word to someone. And there might be times that it may not be convenient or I might feel comfortable, but help me to share it anyway because they may really need it. I pray for these who will be listening to this message by way of the internet. I pray for you as well. I pray that God will help you to put into practice some of these things that we need to have working in our lives. It's never too late to make changes. We've all made wrong choices and wrong turns and went wrong ways, but it's always good to ask the Lord to help us to get back on track Some of you have been off track for quite a while. It's been quite a few years. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you today and help you to get back on track. Help me to do these things that Jesus did. I want to really be a better follower today and tomorrow and the days coming forth. Thank you, Lord, again for letting me share today. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to the cross for me. And thank you for providing salvation for me today. I'm glad to know you as my Savior. Help me, Lord, from this day forward to follow you in a more fuller way. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.